Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Sunday, March 6th. The year is 2016. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Laura Gall, and the name of today's show is Laura Gall's Financial Fitness Boot Camp. My topic for today is the seven deadly sins of personal finance. Now, let me tell you where I got this topic from. I got this topic out of the AARP magazine. They have a section they call Money Saver, and someone by the name of Alan Roth actually wrote this article. There are some good illustrations, too, made by someone by the name of Roberto Parada. So let me just mention that topic again. The topic is the seven deadly sins of personal finance. And according to them, the seven deadly sins of personal finance are optimism, consumerism, inertia, impulsiveness, trust, greed, and disorder. Now, I can tell you for sure, I can attest to the fact that I have fallen victim to all seven of these deadly sins at some time or other. My call-in number today is 1-714-242-5273. So call in and let's talk about money. Let's talk about the seven deadly sins of personal finance. So basically today what I'm really going to do is read this article. Some of our financial fate is beyond our control. Markets boom and bust, inflation comes and goes, but we do have the power to change our behavior. And that's important because with finances, as with everything else in life, the wrong behavior can end up landing us in a very dangerous spot. To avoid ending up in a place where you don't want to be financially, take note of these seven sins of personal finance. If you ignore them, hey, ignore them at your own risk. Or keep them front and center in your calculations and enjoy a fruitful financial lifestyle. Let's talk about the first one. The first one is optimism. Are you worried about outliving your money? If so, that's a good thing. While optimism can be a positive trait for many facets of life, it can be dangerous when it comes to money. Research reveals that those who are optimistic about having enough money for retirement don't worry enough about it. Their blissful optimism about the future hinders the motivation necessary to defer spending and save. And the pessimists who are worried about living under a bridge, like you're homeless, they are invariably the best savers, says Michael Fink, professor of personal financial planning at Texas Tech University. So the solution to being too much of an optimist, here in this article, they are saying making saving automatic is the key to protecting yourself against undue optimism, and in order to build a nest egg. If you are still on the job, put automatic payroll deposits into your 401k retirement plan at work, because that is one option. But you can also have money deducted from your checking account each pay period and invested into a mutual fund or a bank savings plan. Savings bonds used to be a good way to save automatically as well. And if you decide to use savings bonds, have something like a post office box that they are sent to. That way, if you ever move, you don't have to worry about your savings bonds landing in a mailbox that you no longer use. The second deadly sin of personal finance that I'm going to discuss today is consumerism. Oh, Lord, that's me. Spending money on the latest shiny thing can sure make us happy. But research indicates that happiness is short-lived. Jonathan Clements, the author of the Jonathan Clements Money Guide 2016, says that through a process known as hedonic adaptation, we quickly get used a new luxury car, and the happiness factor fades fast. So if someone goes out and buys a $100,000 Mercedes-Benz, hey, and that car note starts hitting them monthly, the excitement of having that $100,000 Mercedes-Benz soon wears off. The solution to being so much of a consumer is that there will always be someone who has nicer toys than you. So stay away from the hedonistic treadmill. If you're considering buying something big, take a long time deciding. Clement says that the anticipation of buying is really the best part and brings with it the greatest amount of happiness related to a purchase. So the longer you wait to get something that you really want, the longer the feeling of excitement and happiness will last after you get it. That's how I feel about my new Ninja system that I have in the kitchen. Man, I wanted that for a long time, but I didn't want to put out the close to $200 to get it. But I found it on sale and was able to get it recently. Now, the third deadly sin is, according to this article, is inertia. And this is the failure to do anything with your money, which can drain the value of your savings if you let it. Investors have nearly $900 billion. These are people who invest their money. They have nearly $900 billion in money market, mutual funds, and $8 trillion in savings accounts in banks. What this article is saying, that cash is comforting, especially during periods when the stock market causes so much pain. Unfortunately, much of the cash languishing in accounts is paying virtually nothing. So cash money in savings accounts can be paying as little as 0.0% in interest. So for one thing, if you got your money in account, make sure you're getting the highest interest you can get. The solution is to stop using abysmally low interest rates as an excuse for doing nothing. As of the time of this writing, savings accounts at online banks such as Synchrony Bank are yielding as much as 1.05% annually, and five-year CDs with 180-day early withdrawal penalties are yielding as much as 2.20%. I use Navy Federal because they're giving out a higher percentage. Moreover, 10-year bank CDs purchased through a broker are yielding over 3%. True, those rates are still low, but they will compound over the years. Meanwhile, 0% compounded over 10 years is still 0%. Yeah, there's a local bank here, and they practically pay 0% interest. You know, you can have $20,000 in the bank, and your interest would be 49 cents. A month. So, okay, let's deal with the fourth deadly sin. And the fourth deadly sin, according to this article, is impulsiveness. Though it may seem like the opposite of inertia, impulsiveness can be as deadly to your finances as inertia. The temptation comes when others tell you how rich they're getting from buying that hot stock, and you take the bait. So a lot of people got beat recently by believing they were making so much money, you know, it was almost too good to be true money, and then they found themselves in a Madoff situation. So the temptation comes when others tell you how rich they're getting from buying that hot stock, and you take the bait. Or perhaps when someone contacts you with an opportunity to make a high return with virtually no risk. Or maybe the stock market plunges and the impulse to sell is irresistible. Stop and think. In his book, Thinking Fast and Slow, psychologist and Nobel laureate Daniel Kahneman writes that we have two systems of thinking. System one is fast, automatic, frequent, emotional, and subconscious. System one of thinking is fast, automatic, frequent, emotional, and subconscious. System two is slow, effortful, infrequent, logical, calculating, and conscious. Before taking action based on that impulsive system number one, think more slowly with system number two. Make sure you are logically considering the pros and cons when you go out to invest your money. So they're saying, you know, making an investment is not quick money on sight. Do some research, evaluate your needs, all of that. Okay, deadly sin number five is trust. Don't you hate it when someone giving you advice, financial or not, doesn't disclose a conflict of interest? Yes, most people hate that because mainly if there's a conflict of interest, you may find out after you've made an important decision. So they're asking the question, don't you hate it when someone giving you advice, financial or not, doesn't disclose a conflict of interest? And usually that conflict is against you. Yet, surprisingly, you may be more at risk when an advisor does disclose a conflict. So when they do disclose a conflict, it'll make them seem trustworthy. Research led by George Lowenstein, professor of economics and psychology at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, found that once advisors have disclosed a conflict of interest, they feel morally licensed to abuse a conflict by say, selling you a product and taking the highest commission. So at the time, you are more likely to buy the product due to what Lowenstein calls an insinuation anxiety. Because the advisor has been upfront about disclosing the conflict of interest, you don't want to appear distrustful, so it's harder for you to say no. So they're calling this an insinuation anxiety. A person actually puts that anxiety on you by initially disclosing a conflict and then saying, hey, it's up to you. You know, now that you know the deal, it's up to you to make a good decision. And then you're like, oh, okay, well, they told me what's wrong, so now I can make a decision. The solution? Trust any advisor enough to listen, but not so much that you follow blindly when it comes to making a decision. Ask questions. Make sure you fully understand the answers. Yeah, my husband is good about that, about asking a lot of questions. I've never been that good about asking questions. I always think I know everything, and that must be the eighth deadly sin when it comes to personal finances, thinking that you know everything. And when you think you know everything, you might end up in a situation of inertia, not making a decision. Because nothing that's been disclosed to you fits the bill in relation to what you know. So that's me right there. The sixth deadly sin of personal finance is greed. We'd all like to make a bit more money on our investments, true. But greedily going after a high-reward, high-risk investment, even after careful consideration and with our eyes fully open, can often turn into disaster. So how do we get better returns without undue risk? Hey, I want to know the answer to that question. The solution is to look for investments in which the lower-risk option can provide a better return than the higher risk choice. Even on bank CDs, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, which is known as the FDIC, insured online banks and broker sold bank CDs previously mentioned pay higher rates than most local banks, but without any more risk. So they're saying you can actually go online and get an account that pays just as much interest, but without as much risk as you would have, say, if you go to a broker. At least that's what I'm getting out of this. But at any rate, as far as I'm concerned, go to whomever you want when it comes to investing your money. You know whether or not you trust your personal banker, personal financial broker, your bank, an online investment account. You know which one works for you. So when it comes to your money, I don't think people who decide not to spend their money are greedy. The picture that was designed in relation to greed is a picture of a woman laying on an entire mountain of coins. Well, that's hoarding. You know what I mean? If you're just hoarding money and you're not investing it, you don't have it in the bank, whatever, that can be considered hoarding. But as far as I'm concerned, anybody who's holding on to their money is not necessarily greedy. That person is not necessarily cheap. They're just cautious. I mean, they know how hard it is to come by a buck, so they're not going to invest it or give it away without a lot of consideration. Until they feel safe, it's up to them to do what they want to do with their money. The way is to do research, read the newspapers, go out to a bank, because banks' interest from an account at a bank can fluctuate almost daily. Every day they get a new sheet showing their interest, and every day they get a new sheet showing specials, and that's the time to cash in. I remember back in the 80s when CDs were paying 20%. Woo! People who had $10,000, they were killing it. And especially the 20% was compounding. They were taking $20,000 and turning it into $80,000 and using that to buy a house. You know, but today you're not really getting that type of interest. And then on the other side of the coin is you have to look at what you're being charged for interest. You know, credit cards that are charging anywhere from 5% up to 24% interest. And this is what someone is charging you to use their money temporarily. Or bank loans. You know, a personal loan from a bank is charging from 8% on up to 20%. And, of course, it may depend on your credit rating how much you're being charged. So the comparison here is how much are you receiving for interest when you put your money into a bank or into any financial instrument, as opposed to how much you're being charged. You know, so some people, their theory in relation to debt is to pay off all debt first so that you won't be losing that 20%. Another theory in relation to money is if you're holding on to money for 20 years, inflation is going to eat away at that money. So if you have $1,000 today, in 20 years, what you can buy with that $1,000 will be reduced. That $1,000 in 20 years will be something like $200. So it has lost its purchasing power. What they're talking about is the purchasing power of cash, purchasing power of cash money. Now, let me go over the final number 7 of the 7 deadly sins of personal finance. I'm going to also mention you are listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Laura Gall, and the name of my show today is Laura Gall's Financial Fitness Bootcamp. Today is Sunday, March 6th. I'm actually reading from an article that I found in AARP. The name of the article is The 7 Deadly Sins of Personal Finance. The person who wrote this article is a man by the name of Alan Roth. The person who illustrated the article is a man by the name of Roberto Parada. So my calling number is 1-714-242-5273. You can always call, catch me at noon on the first Sunday of the month, and we'll be talking about money. So now let's discuss number seven. Number seven is disorder. Is your investment portfolio as cluttered as your garage? Do you have investments spread over multiple banks and financial companies or institutions? One solution is to bring order to your financial life by consolidating accounts. Consider a target date fund. A target date fund holds a mix of stocks and bonds based on when the investor expects to retire. The fund's managers adjust the mix to be more conservative as retirement draws closer. Now, what that means is if you decide to take out some type of stock fund, mutual fund, investment fund, when you start out, the money, the things your money can be invested in may be a little risky. Why? Because they'll yield a higher interest rate. As you get closer to your investment, your retirement date, those investments will become less risky. Why? Because you're going to need your money. So if you're 20 years old and you start putting money into any type of account, it could be $25 a month. Depending on the amount of interest you get from 20 to age 60, at age 60, that investment can actually become $1 million. A lot of people don't believe that, but it's true. And if you end up at age 60 without any money, you'll know it was true because you'll look back and say to yourself, wow, I should have invested that $25 a week or that $100 a month. $100 a month sounds like a lot more than $25 a week. So what they're saying is don't have money everywhere. Don't have money invested in comic books in 1 minute, coins the next minute, savings bonds the next minute, a savings account at one local bank, a checking account at another local bank, a business account at a third bank, investments in stocks, investments in bonds, a 401k, a mutual fund. What they're saying is that's scattering your money all over the place. So do something to consolidate where you're putting your money, okay? Now, I'm a firm believer in an everyday account. I believe in having an account that also has a credit card that you're going to use every day, and it's not going to be that much money in that particular account. So if somebody happens to get a hold of that account number or credit card number, they won't get much. But when you have an everyday account, use a bank that's aware, who knows your spending patterns, so that if someone gets a hold of that account, they'll stop it immediately, something like that. So I believe you might have an everyday account. You might have your substantial checking and savings that your bills is paid out of, and then you may have a 401k through your job or a 457k or a mutual fund or something like that. But what they're saying is having a disordered financial situation is the same as having a disordered garage, a lot of junk. And in the long run, who knows what it will yield. So the solution is to bring order to your financial life by consolidating accounts. Consider a target date fund. A target date fund holds a mix of stocks and bonds based on when you, the investor, expects to retire. The fund's managers adjust the mix to be more conservative as retirement draws closer. And finally, you could hire an advisor to bring order and discipline to your money. But make sure the advisor sticks with a plan. Advisors are people, too, and have the same tendencies as consumers toward chasing a hot investment and indulging in the other deadly financial sins, the other six deadly financial sins. So choose your financial advisor wisely, but I can tell you there are some people out here who can consolidate your bills for you, help you pay off debt, help you reach a particular financial goal. Say if you want to buy a house, these people, you go visit them, and I know a few people in World Financial Group. I know somebody else in First Investors, something similar to that is the name of it. And what you happens is you go to them. Primerica is one as well. When you go to them, they can put together a budget for you. They know, they help you realize how much money is coming in and how much money is going out, and where you can close up holes, where you can close up the leaks, because there's money leaking out. Some people have money leaking out by going to the ATM every day to get $20 just so that they can buy a Starbucks coffee. So these people help you find out where your money is seeping out and getting away from you, and how you can regroup, how you can modify your behavior in order to save money and to go towards a particular goal. So let me just say, hey, that's pretty much the end of my show today, Laura Gall's Financial Fitness Bootcamp. I've discussed the seven deadly sins of personal finance, which I found in an AARP magazine. Thank you so much for listening. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Laura Gall. The name of my other show is You Talk Too Much. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.